Good evening, everybody. I also want to greet you this evening here in the highest name, the name of Jesus. I wish that Aiden would have went on and forgot that he had asked me. But I want to do this. I want to do it with joy. But before we start, why don't we pray? Just a short prayer for me, please. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful once again that we can gather here this evening, Lord, in your precious name. We just pray, Father, and we invite you here tonight, Lord. I just pray, Father, for the few thoughts that you've given me. Bless them, Lord. Help my nervousness, my staggering tongue here this evening, Lord, and just have me speak through you, Lord, what you want me to speak. Give me revelation, Lord, while I'm yet speaking. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I was asked if I would share this evening, my thoughts went to a lot of things that Aiden talked about already here this evening. And it went to Jesus' crucifixion and his resurrection. Now, I just really don't feel qualified to be talking about this in this way. It's so deep and there's so much there. And I'm barely going to scratch the surface on this here this evening. But may we just get a little taste here this evening of what he did for me and for us to set us free. I think we'll start, I don't know quite where to start, so I think we'll start at the Last Supper. I'm going to be doing quite a bit of reading here. And I'm going to use Matthew here this evening, Matthew 26, verse 17, if you want to follow along. It starts out the plot to kill Jesus and the anointing of Jesus. And then it talks about Judas, where they made the deal there on the 30 pieces of silver. And maybe we can get to that a little bit later. But I think we'll start reading there at the Last Supper. First of all, I want to quote the verse that's so a popular verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And this is what this is the gift. This is what God did so we could be free. He gave his Son. Now, the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, The time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and says, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung an hymn and went out into the Mount of Olives, then said Jesus unto them, all you shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, this night before the cock crew, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. That was actually, I don't know if I ever caught that before. The other disciples said this too. But Peter, Peter was more, how could you say, forward, I guess. He always kind of got himself into a little jam, you could say. I'm going to read on here before we go over my thoughts. Then come Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto his disciples, while I go and pray yonder, let me start over. Then come Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter, the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thou will. And he cometh unto the disciples and finding them asleep, and said unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and said unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be gone. Behold, he is at hand that does betray me. You know, I don't think that Jesus was rebelling against his Father's wishes. Or his Father's will, when he was asked the suffering of the cup and the separation to be taken away, he reaffirmed his desire to do the will by saying, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. His prayer reveals to us his terrible suffering. His agony was worse than death as he paid for all sin. Being separated from God, the sinless Son of God took our sins upon himself. What does it take for me to say, thy will be done? It takes the trust in God's plan, prayer, and obedience each step of the way. Every day, through these humps and bumps that Moses drew for us here today, we could, thy will be done through the valleys and everything that he takes us through. He's not going to be taking these things away. He's going to be helping us through them. Let's read on here. Jesus' betrayal and arrest, I'm going to skip that. And I'm going to start on Peter's denial. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came up to him saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was going out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while, came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now there's one situation, and what he did with this situation. Now let's keep reading here, and we'll read about what Judas did in his situation. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus and put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Now there's a big difference there between these two. You know, talk about thinking about Peter's situation there. He was, what I get out of this, and I may not be looking at it right, but it seems like he was a little scared to be involved with Jesus right at that time. He kind of stayed in the shadows, and he denied him three times. But I think he thought if he was going to get involved, he might get crucified or I don't know what. He didn't really want to have the name of Jesus on him right at that time. You know, and I got to think, have I ever been in a situation like this? Maybe it was a family thing or maybe it was a church setting or I don't know. But did I ever, you know, kind of slip out to the sidelines and figured, well, when this is through, then I'll follow Jesus. Once this is through, I'll be his friend again. I'll follow him. I don't know. Just a thought I had. I don't know if it makes sense or not. But But look at the difference here. Now Peter went out and he wept bitterly. He was sorry for what he had done or for what he said, that he denied Jesus there. And Jesus accepted this. Now Judas, this was a whole different story. Now I got to thinking about this. If there was anybody hurting, if there's ever anybody hurting inside, it was him with this situation he was in. He was hurting inside. And I don't think he expected things to go this far. And he said, I have sinned and I have betrayed innocent blood. And they said, what's that to us? This was God's plan for his son, but it could have things been different for Judas. I think it could have. You know, the disciples that said this, that what's this to us, or the people, I think there was disciples. What if they would have took him and loved him and prayed with him? What do you think would have happened? I think it had turned out different. It's a situation that we often face. I think we face this. Often, we face situations like this. This is just exactly like this, in a different way maybe. And there's times I know I'm struggling right now with a man I work with, a young boy. And depending what I tell this young boy, it's either going to drive him away, or it's going to draw him to Christ. I believe that. And we face these situations, our response, if I'm extending forgiveness, am I extending forgiveness? Our response to something like this can either draw that person or push him away. And I think that's what happened here. He got pushed away. I don't know. I might be all wrong here. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault, you which are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness. If they would have applied meekness there and instead of that stab, that hurt that they gave him, what's that to us? I don't know. We'll go on here. I think we'll start on verse 26. The question that they had there was, who was they going to release here? I think it was Pilate here. I'm a little confused on who it was, but I think it was Pilate. He was trying to get them to release Barabbas, or however you pronounce it, I don't know how to pronounce it, instead of, Jesus instead of Barabbas. And then, but they wanted Jesus crucified. Let's start here. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of Jews! And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. I don't know how many of you have read or seen the book or read the book of The Day Christ Died by Jim Bishop. Now, I don't know how sound it is, but he explained in that book how they scourged Jesus. And I have no way of saying one way or the other. The gospels say a little this and a little that, and it's not, it don't go real deep in some places. But what he said is that happens there when the Romans crucify somebody, or when they crucified somebody at that time. He said they took Jesus out into the courthouse, and he said there was three posts out there. And he said these posts was about 3 foot high. And on each side of the post, there was a ring. And they took Jesus and they stripped him naked. And they bent him over that post. And they tied his hands onto this ring on each side. And then they got a stick. And at the end of this stick, there was a piece of leather. And they cut that leather into strips. And they took, at the end of this leather, they took and tied pieces of bone and pieces of chain at the end of this leather. And Jesus was bent over there with his back stretched tight. And there was a man trained to do this. To scourge this, to whip. And there was another man trained to stop it before they died. Now, if we can just imagine how that looked, bent over, and he said the man stood 6 feet away and he whipped him. and he was a true marksmanship, and he never hit in the same place twice. And he said every time he pulled back, the flesh would tear open. He did this for me. For me, he did this. He did this for you. Every one of us. He did it for the whole world. They placed the crown of thorns on his head, and they hit it. I don't know if you ever got a thorn in your hand or your head or anywhere, but it really hurts. I can't imagine how many of them were broke off in his head, under his skin there. They spit on him. Gross. How can you be so gross as to spit on somebody? Dad told us to never even spit on a pig. Here they spit right in his face. I had to think of Isaiah. But he was wounded for John's transgressions. He was bruised for John's iniquities. The chastisement of John's peace was upon him. And with his stripes, John is healed. You can put your name in there. And that was his love, his deep love that he had for us. I think I'm going to finish here in Matthew, the end of Matthew. He was buried. They took him off the cross. Oh, the thieves were there, crucified with him. The one got saved right there at the last. I always kind of struggle with that. The thief that went with Jesus that day to paradise, like Jesus said. And I don't know, he never really, for not more than what he said, but he said what was important, what was in his heart, I guess. And Jesus forgave him. And the other one just turned his back on him. We'll read here. He arose, hallelujah. He's here to help us through life. He knows exactly what we go through and what we're going through. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. It's in chapter 28, verse 16. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And like I said earlier, these humps and bumps that Moses wrote on the board today, and the friend of God, he will hear our voice and he's going to help us through this, all these valleys and dips that we go through in life. And may the Lord bless you. In closing, I just want to say that we as a family want to partake here this evening. We appreciate every one of you. You're a blessing in our lives, and we thank you.